Hi, I'm Chris Ippolito, and welcome to Get Coach 360, where I'm documenting my journey from employee to entrepreneur while featuring the coaches that are helping me along the way. Each episode, these coaches provide actionable advice to help me and you, the audience, find more success as entrepreneurs. I invite you to join the journey so we can go and grow together.
Welcome to another episode of Get Coach 360. In this episode, Chris sits down with Juliet Clark, best-selling author, marketing consultant, and founder of Superbrand Publishing. Juliet lays the groundwork for how entrepreneurs can build smarter lead magnets that cultivate their fan base and increase sales. She also discusses how entrepreneurs should listen to both their audience and to themselves, and to understand and assess their audience's needs, as well as what they themselves are offering, in order to better target the gaps that need filling. Juliet also touches on the importance of being consistent, showing up, and being aware that people reflect back what you give out, and that procrastination and perfectionism might both lead to no progress. And, as always, we'll close with Juliet sharing her advice for how you can take action now to level up wherever you need it most.
Hi, Juliet.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Welcome to the Get Coach podcast. Glad to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Me too. It's you're a fellow digital marketer in a sense, and we'll expand upon that later on. But I'd love if you could start off with your story. How did you get to where you're at right now, if you don't mind sharing?
Wow, it's long because I'm old, but no, I'll keep it short. right out of college, I went into traditional publishing. And I spent a few years there. And from there, I went into advertising. I worked at Shite Advertising on the Nissan account, so $1 billion regional account. And from there, I went over to Mattel Toys. And then in 2000, I believe it was 2000, 2001, I decided that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. And I quit my job. And I stayed at home for about 2 weeks. And then I realized, darn, this is hard.
So, hardest job you'd ever had.
Hardest job I'd ever have. So I got a real estate license, and I quickly became one of the top producers in an office of 400. So I kind of went from, yeah, I want to stay home, to now I have another full-time career. And then in 2007, I was going through a pretty nasty divorce, and I wrote my first mystery novel.
Oh,
and
cool.
it was pretty cool. And it was a really ugly divorce. So I decided in the book that I would kill my ex-husband, my soon to be ex-husband. So a lot of cathartic healing going on. But the best part of that was that I went and I self-published that book. Because I thought, okay, I've been in traditional publishing. I know how this works. And what I found was a really unethical, what I believed was an unethical model that the publishing companies, the self-publishing companies were using. People were paying them to produce their books, and then they were marking up the books on the back end. So they were really taking the royalties away from people is how I felt. It would almost be like you going to Kinko's and saying, here, design my card. And then Kinko's says, hey, here's your design card and here's your new box. And by the way, everything you sell, you have to give us 50% because we designed your card. So with my second book, I decided to start my own publishing company, and I learned everything about, you know, POD and how to do all this. And by my third book, I had sold over 25,000 copies. My third book was a bestseller. And then in about 2013, after that happened, people started bringing me their books to publish. Because obviously I knew how to, you know, not only get the book published, but how to hit the bestseller list as well. And one thing I kept hearing over and over from these people was that they had gone to a business building workshop or a marketing building workshop, and they'd shared with the guru in the room that their products and services weren't selling. And so the, you know, the objective of that guru was you need to write a book. That's why your stuff isn't selling. Nobody knows who you are. And when they brought us the books, I was kind of like, yeah, that's not why your stuff isn't selling. Like, where did, I'm sorry somebody took you for a ride. But as probably many of your listeners know, the coaching world can be a very bootstrap your way to bankruptcy business model. Right. There are a lot of things they tell you you need out there that you don't. So in 2015, 16, I came across some software from a coaching program I was in, and she was a business coach that was using this. And I said, oh my gosh, this has so much marketing potential in it. And so we started using it with our book clients to build audiences. And that's where we are today. We have a product that we use the success principles of what you teach. And it also has, you know, it asks some tough questions in there. People are gauging where they're at in relationship to success, but they're also telling you how committed they are to solving the problem, how committed they are to investing in the problem. And based on that, a couple different autoresponders spin off in high, medium, and low commitment. And depending on their commitment level, there are different offers in each because, of course, those high commitment people we want to be talking to. And those low commitment people, we, you know, that's most people that are not in action. We want to be feeding them good content, but we don't want to be spending a huge amount of time with them because they're not ready to purchase. So that's how I got to where I am today. And if you'd ask me when I was going through it where the heck I was going, I would say I have no idea.
Yeah. Just kind of figuring it out as you go.
Yeah.
That's the best way of doing it. I feel like that's kind of what I'm doing at a same, at, I had a bit of an idea of where I wanted to go with the podcast and some of the other things I was doing, but it's already shifted and pivoted. And I was just kind of thinking about this prior to our call. And that's kind of, I think there's that, that's the value in taking action. Go and do something, go start, and then figure it out almost on along the journey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And it sounds like that was similar for you, right? Like you didn't start off saying like, well, I'm going to do this and this and this, and it's all going to be roses. But it was, well, I see a need. You started kind of addressing that need, and it's turned into the business that you have now, which... I believe you focus a little, or not focus, but you service that coaching market quite a bit, right?
Yes, we do. Not only for the assessments now, but we still publish books as well. We just have a little bit higher standard. We want you to have that audience built because we want your book to be successful.
Which is great because a lot of my guests are business coaches, kind of similar to what you do, but just in different categories. But the audience is entrepreneurs, right? And I know that what you teach, sure, you may focus on coaches because that's just the market that you're servicing. But really, the lessons that you, the system, that's the key thing. The system that you use to help your clients would work for any entrepreneur out there. And that was something that I was hoping we could really dig into a little bit was the system about how do you help your clients as far as taking what that idea and then executing on it so it becomes a lead generation tool?
That's a great question. So as you know, from the digital marketing world, there has been this paradigm for years that we're going to have an even exchange of information. I'm going to give you a piece of my genius. You're going to give me your email address. And over the years, that's morphed into, I'm going to give you an ebook that you're never going to read. And you're going to give me your email address. And I'm going to write you lots of emails, but you've seen them all before because everybody does the same thing. And then you're not going to open them. So that whole system is really broken down. So what we call ours a smart lead magnet. And what we do with it is we actually sit down and we talk to you about, okay, you have this core program. What are the success principles? What does it look like when you're being successful at what you teach? And so from there, we craft assessment statements. And when you give this assessment to your audience or to a potential audience, they're actually excited to take it because they want success in what you teach. So now they're seeing where their gaps are. So what we do with our clients is we sit down and we have a couple different ways. We have people that we go through your program and we design the quiz, or we have where we sit down and it's usually with people who have less of an idea about why people aren't buying. And we actually go through those success principles. What do you think they are? What is it in your marketing? And then we craft the statements from there and design and build the quiz for them, their first quiz for them. So what we're really doing is getting them really clear on what they're doing, but we're also creating it in a way that gets their audience really clear about what they do as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it sounds like step one really is helping them create a lead magnet, right? Something that the audience is going to, anybody that comes to their website or gets directed to that landing page is going to see some value in it and be able to take something away right away and be, and it sounds, I think the reason I like assessments when I was kind of exploring this world of digital marketing is that there's typically value right out of the gate. Whereas an ebook, you have, like you said, you have to read it and pull out the value. An assessment kind of just asks you a bunch of questions and then goes, here you go. This is the value, right? Is that it? Was that part of the reason why you decided to go more that route with your clients and helping them with assessments?
Yes and no. So coming from advertising, I have a little bit of a market research background. And what I really wanted was a lead magnet that served everyone. So when you actually have people take that assessment, you're getting feedback. You're getting feedback on where people have gaps. You're getting feedback at whether people are really struggling at what you think they're struggling. And that feedback is crucial. We're also getting away from clicks and leading people into conversations, which is super important to build trust. So I wanted something that would help the entrepreneur, because let's face it, if I give you an ebook and you give me your email address, I have no idea why you took it.
Yeah.
But with the assessment, we actually do. For the person who's taking it, we're not actually giving them questions. We have them assessing themselves on statements. And I think that's where I see the biggest gap out there is people are using quiz software and they're doing it in ways that serve themselves as entrepreneurs. They're not really serving their audience. When you have the way we do it into categories and statements where people on a scale of 1 to 10 are assessing themselves, when they get the results, they can see an entire area that they have a gap in.
Ah, okay. I like that. So it would be, it sounds like this, the assessments would be a number of statements, and then it would ask, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Right? Is that kind of the direction you guys go? Okay.
That's the direction.
I really like that because then it exactly what you said, it identifies gaps right out of the gate for that person who just finished the assessment. And then that's valuable information as the entrepreneur, because now if you can start with that data, you can start identifying common gaps and go, well, okay, well, here's a need that a lot of these people have. How do I fill that need? And then there you go. You've got something that you can add value and hopefully be able to exchange that value for money and get paid for it. Right. I think that's kind of the ultimate goal, but, right. Okay. So what's,
Can I add one? Go ahead. So
we even take
that a step further. One thing that people don't understand about assessments is when you have one question or one statement per page, people move on and they don't understand how it's all interconnected. We actually break this down into categories. So when you get your results, you can see how it's all connected and you can see where that gap is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you have, I think I get it. Do you have an example kind of top of mind that, or maybe a recent example that you could share to help illustrate, I guess, what you're trying to share?
Yeah. So if you went over to my lead logic quiz, we have a series of statement. We have categories. So we have a category like your niche audience, where we have 3 or 4 statements about your niche audience. We have a category around lead generation, We have a category around lead qualification, and all of those have three or four statements within it. So enrollment conversations. So when you get your results, you can actually see you have a gap in particular areas that you need to fill. So you might do really well on who's your niche audience, but your enrollment conversations might be horrible, or your lead conversion might be horrible. So then you've really identified, okay, she teaches this, 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 and this, and it looks like my lead generation isn't so good, my lead qualification, and I'm not getting enough enrollment conversations. Those are all gaps where you've demonstrated with several different statements that there's a gap there.
Yeah, I like that. So what, so after an assessment's created, is that like, is there, what's the, I guess, what would be the step after to be able to help somebody out as far as like what you do, or what would you suggest would be the next step when somebody has created an assessment, starts collecting this data, is building a bit of a mailing list, and they go, oh, this is working, but now what? What do I do next?
That is so funny you should ask that, because in 2017, we actually did not teach enrollment conversations. Okay. And people started generating leads for the first time and qualifying, and they came back and they're like, I don't know how to do an enrollment conversation. Like, I have no idea what to do. So it was kind of hilarious. We added that in. But what we do next is that we actually teach our people, how do we use this from stage to collect? How do we use this from like on a summit? How do we use this on a webinar? How do we use this on social media? So we have a series in our group program where we actually teach you, this is a series of slides you use. Yeah. This is what you do. This is how you drive traffic. So my goal is, once we've created the first one with you, that you should be able to create your future for different uses. Like, we have a lot of people who use it as the ads on their podcasts. We have a lot of authors who use it as the lead magnet inside their books, because podcasts, iTunes owns your stats. You don't know who's listening. Your books, Amazon owns your stats. So you don't know who's listening. If I'm a guest on your podcast, like I am today, I will probably give a different quiz than I give on my own podcast. So I can really start tracking where that traffic's coming from and how I approach and what I look at with each individual quiz. So my goal is to get you ready by the time we're done with you, that you don't need me anymore, because I'm not one of those that's going to continually upsell. You're my child for a year, and then I fly you into the next grade. Bye-bye.
I like that. Though, is there, I guess I'm trying to, maybe this is going to go in a bit of a different direction. Would there not be another rung on the value ladder that you could help your clients? Have you given that some thought?
Yeah, I did, actually. I used to have three different programs. And this is something that is kind of my pivot, is at the beginning of this year, I was on a summit. And the person who put it on came to me and said, you know you have all these classes, but I have really high level entrepreneurs here. They already have funnels. They already know what they're doing. Would you be willing to just sell a built for you? And I really resisted. I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that, but I did it. And I offered it, and I found that I really loved it, because I can actually work with you, build it, get in and get out, and I don't have to show up every Tuesday for a class anymore. Right. So I don't know. There's a balance in there somewhere. I just haven't figured out what it is yet, but I am moving more towards, I'm kind of phasing out the group program and moving more towards just building.
Yeah, that's exciting. And when you get to that point, is it, are you primarily doing it? Have you built yourself a team to support you with that?
Yes. So I have a team that I do all the work with you, the consulting work, because it's not really something I can teach a team member. And then I pass all of the info on and they actually do the building.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. And so you're a big part of the services that you provide. And I might be skipping a few steps here, but that's okay, is the book. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about that. is, because self-publishing is a part of what you help people out with, right? Just
right.
Make sure I'm understanding this properly. So why is it that a book can be such a valuable tool for lead generation?
So it used to be that they said, you know, you'd hand your book to someone and say, look, I wrote the book on this. And I think people are kind of over that. A book can be a tool in the sense that it is a low barrier product to find more out about you and what you do. So inside of that assessment that I just told you about, we have a thank you page and we have those three emails that go out. And a lot of times, if you're speaking on a stage, it may be the first time that people have seen you speak and they're not going to buy that big program that you have to sell. They don't, they may like what you have to say, but they don't, they're not in love with you yet. Mm. So that book is a really valuable tool because you can sell something that's $20. Someone reads it and they go, you know what? I really like what I'm reading here, but I know I'm not going to be able to do this on my own. Maybe it's time to have a conversation with that person about what next steps are. So it's a great tool in the sense that you should always have a low barrier product that allows people to see your personality, to understand what you're about. Because at the end of the day, for coaches, I may do what 50 other coaches do, and people hire me because of me. And I That's don't right. mean that in a narcissistic way. I mean, I'm a go-getter. I push people into action. I'm not really tactful about it. It's like, you didn't do your homework. We've got a problem. But people hire me because of that, because that's what they need. Now, there may be somebody who does exactly what I do, who has a softer touch. And if you need a softer touch, you're going to go hire her. So it's, the book is important from the standpoint that if you, I have a book coming out very soon called Pitch Slapped, and that's my sense of humor. And you're going to get from it that I am sarcastic and I'm in action. And if that's who you are, you're going to read that book and go, I need her.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Is there, I guess for me, I'm trying to think of it as far as wouldn't there be other mediums that other people could still build that kind of relationship? So a podcast being one, which I know you have, and it could be just audio or a combination of video audio, but is it, I'm trying to think of this through my, almost on my own, but I'll just ask you and we'll chat about it. But what is it though, that's about a book that is different, right? Like, I think you could still accomplish the same thing with a podcast as far as building that relationship, showing your personality, allowing people to connect with you. You could do it through YouTube. You can do it even through probably some social medias, channels with like micro snippets of your life. But because I agree that I think books are just there's just something different about them. And what is it? Is it that you're physically holding something? Is it the pages? I don't know. Like, what do you think it is?
So there are actually three different learning modalities. And so anytime you create a good program, you need to have all three of those modalities in it. So if you go through my program, I have a workbook or, you know, a written version. I have the group learning vision, and I also have the audio. So you have to remember that when people learn, if you want to reach the broadest audience, you have to be able to hit all three of those modalities, because some people are going to love that video because they're very visual. Other people are going to love that podcast because they audio learn. And then there are others that learn from reading. So you're covering all your bases with it.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I think for me, maybe the reason I get so drawn to books is I enjoy reading and I learn a lot from reading. And then the second modality would really be listening, because if I were to think of all the different methods of learning, it's really those two that I gravitate towards. It's funny because I know a lot of people go, oh, go watch YouTube, go learn on YouTube. I'm like, like, if it has to be visual, of course I'll have to go to YouTube, but there's so many other types of methodology, like marketing. You would think most people would actually want to watch a video because you could kind of see what the person's doing. They could draw diagrams and stuff like that. My favorite way to learn marketing is audio and books. And I think with books, it's because I And it's the same reason I think why I like podcasts, is that you're sitting there and you're like comfortable and you're just connecting with that person on the other end. Whereas I know you can do that with video, but it doesn't resonate the same way with me. And I'm sure there's other people it's different. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why for me, I was like, there's got to be something about books, because I like books.
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because we just put a package together. I work with the Hazards quite a bit, who have the largest post-production podcast company in the world. And we just put a package together for podcasters to be able to create books and then do audiobooks. And the reason we did that is because only 10% of the books that are purchased get read. Now think about that.
What?
Think about it. People buy books and then they just sit there. But audiobooks, when people purchase them, 85% of them finish them.
Huh.
And for me, that is my modality, because I run almost every day, or, you know, sometimes I'm in a car for a long trip. I listen to audiobooks on like 1.5 speed. So when people talk now, it's boring to me because they're not talking fast enough.
I'm actually the same. I listen times two.
You really? The chipmunks. So it's interesting that you said that, because I think people have a combination, but they're really getting into audiobooks now too.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, actually, I kind of want to chat about the consumption of audio and how that's evolving. So a little while back, I did a little bit of research on podcasts, because I wanted to understand the world of podcasting a little bit more, as far as what is the true value that's delivered by an episode. So host with guest and guest to host and vice versa. And I learned a lot. And as I started going down that rabbit hole, there was a study done as far as like the consumption of podcasts and the changing habits. And one of the biggest changes was the speed at which people are consuming audio. I'm a fairly slow talker. It's been pointed out to me quite a few times. And one of the podcasts that I actually really enjoy listening to is Joe Rogan, who he can get pretty excited and start talking fast, but he's kind of the same as me, talks a little bit of a slower pace. But I listen to him at times too. And that's where I'm like, it's great, because his content's so long too, but it just, for some reason, I enjoy that. But it was the same thing. Like if I listen to an audiobook or a podcast at normal speed, it's too slow. I can't handle it. I have to listen at least 1.5, 2. And then depending the content, I can actually get up to times 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It takes a little bit of practice. So obviously, like, that's kind of what you're starting to see, and you guys are making that shift. And your podcast in particular. So you've started a podcast. That was something we kind of chatted a little bit beforehand. Let's chat a little bit about that. Like what's your podcast about? What is it that, if somebody in the audience is looking for another podcast, what would it be that they would want to go and check you out?
Well, first of all, it's called Promote Profit Publish. And the whole premise behind it is build your audience. You can make money with your book and with your content before you ever publish that book. And the value of that is, if most people who self-publish don't sell more than 100 copies. One of our clients, Merrill Chandler, has sold a couple thousand books already, and we haven't even published it. He's taken the content and his workshops. We have soft cover copies that he's done. But he has mailings. If you join his group, you get a gift of the book. If you you can pre-order the book and get t-shirts and gifts and things like that. So that's the whole point of what we talk about, is if you already have an audience you're connecting with and you're getting their feedback and you have an assessment that's telling you where they're struggling, guess what? Now you can write the right book that really meets their needs, which is much easier to sell when you have this built-in audience of, 1,000 people or whatever, and you can go ahead and sell that and then sell them into those bigger programs. a lot of the people that we work with, myself included, we have boot camps that are low cost boot camps where we can upsell and upsell. And the book is a part of them. So sign up for the boot camp, you get a book.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. One of the, on the topic of books, actually, I think this is turning into a bit of a marketing conversation, which I'm okay with. But okay. one of my favorite offers that I've come across is the free plus shipping. Is that something that you've helped your clients with? Because I mean, the way I would look at it is, if you're self-publishing, you've got a lot of control over that cost. So going that free plus shipping direction, first off, you've got the control because you self-publish. Again, this is my limited understanding of all this. Your cost to publish is probably a little bit more reasonable compared if you went a bit of a different route. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that I have always liked that because you're giving something of value up front, and it's like a break even offer in a lot of cases. Sometimes you lose a little bit depending on the production value, but so is that something that you help your clients with, or I guess what are your thoughts on that kind of offer?
Actually, that's exactly what Merrill's doing. That's why we have not put the book on Amazon yet. He's doing the free plus shipping, and there's always an upsell on that. So I mentioned that he's giving some gifts away with it when you order it, but he's also selling you into his workshop. So now you have the book, now you're getting a workshop as well, which can help you, of course, with his workshop. He has an extraordinary workshop, I might add. He'd be an excellent guest for you. But his workshop is 2 days, so action-filled. Look, we're like pumping on a show. but he has an extraordinary 2-day workshop. And then from there, you know, people have the book, they have the workshop, they have the gifts, and he sells up into the mastermind or whatever's next. So there's a definite pattern there. But yes, I love that model. We don't personally do it, but we refer because we don't do the fulfillment piece. We grab the books for you, and then whatever you put in is going from there. And there are fulfillment houses that will do that for you.
Yeah. So I want to maybe shift this a little bit because a lot of the audience are newer entrepreneurs or aspiring. So they're very early on in their journey. So what would be, if they're listening to this and they're going like, I don't know if this would be relevant to me because insert many reasons and excuses and whatnot, what would be the conversation you would want to have with that kind of person? What would you say to them?
I would say, try the assessment first. You're going to take baby steps into this, but I think I mentioned the coaching industry can be a very big bootstrap your way to bankruptcy industry. They're everywhere you go. Somebody's going to be trying to sell you a book coach and a podcast coach and a speaking coach and a presentation. I mean, it's endless. So before you get into all that, spend the money and validate. Find out if your idea is a valid idea. Can you build an audience with this? And if the answer is yes, then invest in some of those other things. But your idea is not validated till somebody actually spends money on it. So find out early, not after you've spent, you know, you could easily drop $100,000, $200,000 in this sort of business without getting results. So find out first if you have that validation and if people will buy what you have.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I like that a lot. That it's, I think I mentioned this. I can't remember if I mentioned it to you, but I've mentioned it now as I'm getting further and further along into this journey of interviewing coaches, you start picking up some pretty reoccurring themes and principles and advice. And that validation one, I think, is so important for the type of audience I'm building this for, because I think what a lot of people shy away from when they're considering going into business for themselves or starting something is they go, oh, but the amount of money I might have to invest, you know, I just don't have it. But you don't actually have to pour in a lot of money. In fact, you shouldn't put, like you said, you shouldn't put in a lot of money until you've proven that there's a market for what you want. And you can validate at a relatively low cost. I mean, building a website's really not that expensive. You don't even have to build a website. One right. little trick that I heard is reaching out to your target audience on a social platform. LinkedIn was the one they were referring to, but reaching out to a target audience on LinkedIn and asking if you could interview them for an article that you were going to write and post on LinkedIn, and you were going to feature them in it. So then what you got an opportunity to do was sit down with them and ask them all those qualifying questions that you would want to find out from them, and they'll give you an indication of whether they're interested or not. And then you kind of use that information and you build upon it. Mm-hmm. And you've spent literally nothing, right? And everything you would need to be able to do that strategy is free. So, I mean, that's such a big part of why I do this podcast, is I just want to help people break down those mental barriers that are kind of holding them back and show them that look at the advice you can get from coaches. And a lot of them are saying the same thing. Maybe their approach is different, how they say it is different, their personalities are different. Like you said, you're going to pick a coach to work with based on them, on who they are, if you connect well with them. But it's just like, get rid of those mental obstacles that are really holding you back. Besides that one in particular, actually, I like this question. What's another common mental barrier obstacle that people kind of self-impose that you just love crushing for them because it's so absurd and you know they can get through it? But what mm-hmm. is one that you've come across recently or you can recall?
So consistently, we see people sabotage themselves right before their book comes out. And that is really, it's your self-worth. It's your imposter syndrome. Who's going to read my book? You get really scared. You know, who am I to say this? And will people read it? And will, you know, what are people going to say? You really start questioning the validity of who you are and what you do, because you're being visible for the first time. And yeah. and we see this thing that is so darn, it's funny, but it's not funny. It's almost like, I want to be famous and I want to be seen, but I don't want anybody to see me. So it's really, we see a lot of people right before their book comes out. It's like this passive aggressive thing. Like, I want to be famous, but nobody can see me. That we actually talk about a lot around the office is, you know, wow, you know, I think I'm seeing this here, because you start seeing them procrastinate on the book. Oh, and then perfectionism creeps in about, well, it's not perfect yet. So, you know, you have to just dive in and say, whatever's going to happen is going to happen here, but I need to get this out.
Yeah, I could see that. I've definitely been guilty of the self-sabotage, which is why I do the pre-scheduled podcast, because then I can't say like last minute, sorry, I got to cancel. Though, thank you, Juliet, for delaying a little bit, because I was running a little late today. But that is literally the first time out of the 37, 38 conversations that I've recorded. And that doesn't even count the pre-interview calls that I do. So thank you, by the way, again for that. But I do this to hold myself accountable, because I've made that commitment. I've asked my potential guests or guests to hold to, like, I hold them to a certain standard as far as, you know, please treat this with the same respect you would with any other booked meeting. So, you know, no last minute cancellations, though I'm pretty forgiving on it. It's happened a couple times. But yeah, I do that. Mainly for me, though, because if I didn't do it and it was kind of, well, you know, we'll figure it out, it just wouldn't happen. And it's just because I know myself. And especially now that I've talked to a lot of coaches, I've picked up a few little tricks on ways to keep myself accountable and following through on those things. Because yeah, like, it's so interesting that we do this. You're just approaching that finish line. And you go, oh, what's that over there? I think I'm going to go wander off the path and not cross the finish line because I'm afraid of what's on the other end of it. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's squirrel. Yeah. It's so funny you said that, because about a year and a half ago, I had a client, we put her assessment together and we got to the part with the calendar, and she's like, yeah, I don't have a calendar. And I'm like, why not? And she said, I don't know. I just don't. I just, you know, I kind of just talk to them and book when I want to book. And I'm like, you're here because you want more clients. Do you think more structure would help you get more clients?
Yeah.
And she came back after we did it 3 months later. And she's like, now that I have a calendar, it's full. And I'm like, yeah, that's why we have them.
Wasn't that what you wanted?
Exactly. But it was just kind of funny because there was so much resistance there at first. Well, I kind of want to do what I want to do. And I want to schedule when I want to schedule. Well, that's not a business. Yeah. That's a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah. And if that's what you want to do, by all means, go ahead. I ran a hobby for 9 years with some friends, a YouTube channel, and we made a little bit of money, but the reason it retained the status of hobby was because we just weren't, as a group anyways, we weren't able to all get on the same page as far as the level of effort and commitment required to take that to the next level of potentially turning it into a business. And we just had to all accept like, okay, well, this is only ever going to be a hobby. Therefore, hobby level efforts get put into it, right? Mm-hmm. A big part of the reason why I did this on my own without having partners is now I don't have to worry about, you know, like, are we equal in our efforts and energy? There's just one person, it's me. But yeah, anyways, that's part of the reason, again, why I did that.
Yeah.
So we've definitely covered a lot, Juliet. I'd love to ask, you know, my favorite question of all the episodes. So coming out of all of that, what would be that one piece of advice that you would want to share with the audience to help them level up wherever they need it most?
Consistency. We just pretty much covered it. You have to be consistent. If you're doing social media, it has to be consistent. If you're consistent, people will show up. If you're not, they won't show up. So basically, when you're consistent, you're showing up for yourself. And people reflect back to you what you give out. So
I like that a lot. That is fantastic advice, because part of it is, I think it's consistency on your part, which is really important. But the reason I feel like that becomes of value to an audience is they now view you as being reliable, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. because you're showing up, like in this case, every Tuesday at 7 a.m. My time, so 9 a.m. Eastern time, the episode's going live. Every once in a while, I've missed it. And yes, I apologize to any of my audience, but it's always on Tuesday. And my hopes is that they can look at that and go, I can reliably look and pull up my new feed and there's a new episode for the Get Coach podcast. And it's kind of the same idea with any other type of platform that you're creating, whether it's a podcast, a YouTube channel, a social media channel. It is, as if you're consistent, you're now becoming reliable, and people like reliability and stability. It gives them comfort, it gives me comfort. So yeah, I think that's a big part of it. It's great advice. If people wanted to reach out and connect with you, where should they go?
So go over to www.leadlogicquiz.com and you can actually experience one of the quizzes, and that's my lead magnet. So when you do that, if you're highly committed, you'll get an appointment. Also right now, we have a little space on one of the pages where we can ask you the takeaway, your biggest takeaway from the quiz. If you put in Chris's name and say that you listen to the podcast, I will give you a free course as well.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Cool. Well, that was a lot of fun, Juliet. I really appreciate the conversation. Again, thanks for being a guest, and definitely looking forward to some future conversations with you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. Take care. Thanks for listening to Get Coach 360. If you're looking for more information, you can head over to our website, which is getcoach360.com. You'll find the show notes for this and every other episode there. And if getting actionable advice every week from professional coaches is something you want more of, then make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes.